Good day. Welcome to a Durban Christian Centre South Ministry message. Durban Christian Centre was established by Dr. Fred and Nellie Roberts as a house of prayer for all nations and truly is a place where miracles happen. Our focus is to win the lost and to make disciples of all nations. We hope you enjoy this inspiring word from our senior pastor, Pastor Johnny Krobler.
Now, we are looking forward to a great year, and as I was praying about this year and looking to God, something came to mind that He spoke to me towards the end of last year. I went through all the prophecies and all the things that God had spoken to us, and I noticed two words in just about every word that God laid in our hearts, that God gave us. It was the words, get ready. Get ready. Tell your neighbor, get ready. Get ready. And so when God is saying getting ready, He's talking about laying a foundation, talking about preparing, talking about setting yourself up, equipping yourself so that He can do greater things. Now, everything that we've been doing thus far is getting ready. And God has spoken to us as a congregation, and I believe we're going to see in 2017, we're going to see the nations turn to Christ. We're going to see Wentworth saved. Somebody say amen. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah. We're going to see Wentworth saved. Hallelujah. And as I was praying about it, I was reminded about something God spoke to me about 2.5 years ago. I went to a minister's conference, and in the conference, one of the pastors stood up and he said, God has given me PE. And I said to the Lord, Lord, did you give me Wentworth? God said, no, Johnny, I didn't give you Wentworth. I gave you this. I didn't give you the South. He said, I'm making you responsible for it. You and I are responsible. Somebody say, I'm responsible. Now, that's a big difference, isn't it, when you're responsible? And I said, Lord, now we're responsible. How are we going to reach the whole South? How are we going to reach out and touch? How many crusades do we have to do? How many 10 crusades? How many healing crusades do we have to do? We would do one on every street. How do we do it? How do we get out there and get the message out? Because I don't know about you, because I want to see the South saved. I don't want to see people in darkness. I don't want to see people go to hell. Amen. And that's why we are here. And so as I was praying, God spoke to me, said, I've given you the people. And so we as a church are responsible. Amen. And yes, we are going to do. This year we're going to have great crusades. This year we're going to have a great time. Pastor Fred just phoned me this morning at about 6:45. He said, Johnny, you must get ready. I want to do a big Jesus conference. So, and he started speaking about all the different people that I must get hold of. And, you know, we're going to do a great Jesus conference this year. Yes, we're going to do that. It's going to be wonderful. But we need to do more than that. And as I was praying, I believe the Lord spoke to my heart. And I started realizing the Bible says that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And really, this is how the church is going to overcome, by the word of our testimony. And, you know, I feel like God wants us to equip ourselves, equip our hearts, so that we can have a word of testimony. Imagine in the home and in the workplace and in the mall and everywhere we go, every one of us has a testimony. You're always sharing your testimony. And it's like I saw in my spirit, it's like David that had a pouch with 5 stones in it. How do you know he put 5 stones in there? Because he was taking Goliath down, but Goliath had 4 brothers. He had a stone for each of the brothers. Amen. And it's like we need to have the 5 stones in our pouch. You need to have a testimony of God's provision, a testimony of God's healing, a testimony of God's salvation, a testimony of deliverance, a testimony of answered prayer. Amen. Different testimonies for every situation. We can pull a different stone out, hallelujah, and we can testify. And, you know, God started speaking to me about that, and I said, okay, Lord, what? So one of the things he said to me, like your car, you've got a testimony for your car. And, you know, those of you know that I've got this lovely Bucky with a V8 engine, and, you know, always where I stop people say, hey, Pastor, They don't know I'm pastor. They say, hey, just give that thing a ref. Give a bit of a V8 thing. Woo, you know. And I talk a bit about the car. And the Lord said to me, that's a testimony you have. And so I said, yes, Lord. So I went to the garage the other day to fill it up with petrol. And a person said, hey, nice car. What did you give? So I said to him, you know, God gave me this car. And so I turned it into a testimony. And I decided from now, I'm not going to talk about how nice the engine is. I'm going to talk about how big the God is that gave me that car. Amen. And every situation. And so I started telling him, man, we turned that filling station into a testimony station. And I left blessed and encouraged. You know what? I believe if we learn how to put our testimony together and how to have a compact testimony of different things, different stones for different situations. So wherever we are, we are a testimony and overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Amen. You see, sometimes, and as I was speaking to Pastor Fred, I said, Pastor Fred, you know, I believe that we, because we preach so well sometimes, okay, maybe not me, people get intimidated by our preaching. And they think, until I can preach like that, until I've got that kind of theology or that kind of doctrine, I really got nothing to say. Listen, let me tell you, the most powerful thing in the world is the testimony of the saints. Amen. Your testimony is powerful. Hallelujah. And we need to learn that that's what we have. Yes, the fivefold ministry is there to equip you, but you have your testimony. Amen. And I believe we're going to see that this year. Hallelujah. So we're preparing ourselves, preparing our hearts, starting our 21-day prayer and fasting. And we've got these booklets prepared for you. And I'm very excited about it because what I've done also is I put in every day, I put a section there where you can journal. And we can write down some answers to prayer requests that you have as well. And it's a lovely book, so get it. You'll also find the front, the different kinds of fasts, how to fast, different fasts, how to break your fast. Should children fast? No, by the way. They should fast other things, not food, because their bodies are growing. Amen. And should you dry fast? No. Nobody should dry fast. You must drink water. The Bible says Jesus was hungry after 40 days, not thirsty. Amen. So all different kinds of questions answered there. And then there's a 21 day. So get yourself one of those books. Join us in the fast. I believe it's going to be an absolute miraculous beginning to our new year. Somebody say amen. You see, when we join the fast, it's not so that we can learn how to push harder to get our own will. It's that we can learn to yield to His will. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Praise God. I believe that this year we're going to see the kingdom of God. And I prophesy today that the will of God is going to prosper in your hands. Amen. The will of God is going to prosper in your hands. And we're going to see the glory of God come down. Somebody say amen. Now I want to speak to you about humility in the fast. And if you'll take your Bibles and turn with me to Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58 verse 6. Is this not the fast of chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness. To undo the heavy burdens. To let the oppressed go free. And that you break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry? And that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him. And do not hide yourself from your own flesh. Then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Hallelujah. Oh, man. Yesterday, as I was praying, I just felt the glory of God come. But it was funny. It's like the glory was carrying me from behind, and the Lord reminded me of that. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. My, what an awesome God we serve. Everybody say with me, because I do the will of God this year, His glory will be my rear guard. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And so, you know, when I look at the fast, I look at Jesus' life, I see an example of a fasted life, of a person that came and gave himself. And a fasted life is not governed by a desire to fulfill the five senses. A fasted life is there. It's an unselfish life. And that's really what God is bringing us into. The Bible says, walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Put your mind on things above and not on things beneath. When you do, you will fulfill the desire of the Spirit. Amen. So you want a solution of a happy 2017? Put the will of God first. Thy will be done. Everybody say, thy will. Hallelujah. The fasted life is an unselfish life. If I look at Jesus' life, I look at a life given over to the Father's will, not his own will. He was here, he said, to please the Father. Not about you, I'm here to please the Father this year. Hallelujah. A life that reveals the Father will always bless other people, touch other people. Amen. It's always there to set others free. It's always there to reveal truth. And Jesus came to restore us as sons to God. He came and your need and my need was first. The Bible even says in Isaiah 58, says, you shall be called the repairer of the breach. And in Jesus' name, in this church, every one of you will be restorers of the breach. You'll restore your families, restore the relationships, restore the marriages, restore the children. Wherever the enemy has breached, in Jesus' name, that breach shall be broken, its work shall be cancelled, that yoke shall be destroyed, hallelujah, that wedge shall be removed, amen, and God will cause you to be a healing balm, amen, and bring restoration. And your family will call you a blessing because you've repaired the breach. Amen. And so when we look at that, when our lives are free from selfishness, we become a blessing to others. Amen. When you're free from selfishness, you have compassion on other people. Some people have compassion only on themselves. Amen. You'll have compassion on other people. You'll pursue God's will as priority for your life. We become the blessing that God intended us to be. Amen. Selfishness has destroyed many people. Selfishness is my desire at the expense of others. Unselfishness is others' desires at my expense. And when we give of ourselves, I tell you what, the blessing of God starts flowing. Amen. Selfishness causes you to be unfeeling for others' needs. Watch this. Selfishness leads to a wasted life. And as I was preparing this, I heard the Spirit say this. A selfish person has very little, if any, positive effect on other people. And guess what? The more selfish life a person lives, the less they are missed when they die. Amen. So you and I are here to extend our hearts, to in our fast extend ourselves to the hungry. Amen. Come on, you're saving money. Use that money to bless other people now. Amen. Use that money to give to the poor. Now, don't use that money to buy groceries for another person's also fasting so that you can save money. Amen. It's not about... While I'm saying that, guys, join in the corporate fast. It's the easiest time to fast of the year. Firstly, there's an anointing that comes on our house corporately when we fast. Amen. Secondly, is you don't get invited for cake and tea. Amen. When you go to people's homes, they don't invite you for breakfast. They don't suddenly cook a few samosas for you, you know, because everybody's fasting. Hallelujah. So an unselfish person. So a fast, really, if you read Isaiah, is talking about starting to become less about me and more about others. May God make us as a church this year less about me and more about others. Amen. That a fasted life is a giving life. A fasted life is a liberal life. Amen. An unselfish person has a great passion for the church. An unselfish person gives his time for the church. Amen. Constantly thinks about God's kingdom. And he shouts with a testimony of the glory of God. Doesn't care about his own reputation. Amen. Only cares about lifting up the name of the Lord. May all of us not be ashamed of his wonderful name this year. Hallelujah. I was just telling the other congregation this morning at the Bluff, I was saying to them, you know, a fasted life, a life full of testimony will even keep you from temptation. Because when that girl looks at you and she flashes those eyes and you start telling about Jesus, suddenly she's not flashing anymore. Amen. when that guy's looking at you, hey, baby, and you start telling about Jesus, suddenly, hey, you know. But it keeps you. Hallelujah. I dare you in a situation where somebody comes that, you know, that spirit of adultery wants to come. You know, you just speak Jesus. Amen. You just give a testimony of God's goodness. Speak about His glory and His grace. And I tell you what, suddenly that whole situation changes. That foul spirit bows its knee. Amen. The testimony of Christ will protect you. Everybody say, the testimony of Christ will protect me. Amen. Godliness is revealed in a fasted life. When I look at Jesus, when I look at a life so full of compassion and a life that cares about others, a selfless life, a fasted life, look at others' needs before your own. Jesus could have very easily come and first got himself a nice house. First got himself a good investments and some salaries. Amen. First deal, you know, get himself the best horses. He could have. But what did he do? He put all his own needs aside. And he trusted in the Heavenly Father. Amen. And how do you know? He had no lack. Amen. When you start depending on God to provide for you, He will provide for you. Amen. And so, you know, like my wife said, challenge you this year. Step into the tithe. Step into that. Amen. You know, this one person, well, he doesn't tithe. He's got all these reasons. Because tithing apparently is under the law. And, you know, all kinds of excuses he has. It's not under the law. It's before the law anyway. It's by grace. But, you know, he had all his excuses. So I said to him, so where do you go to church Sunday? No, he says, I come to DCC. And I said, so do you sit on the floor? No, he says, I sit on the chair. I said, how dare you? Amen. You don't give a cent. If everybody gave the amount of money you gave, there wouldn't even be a gate. Hello? Amen. You know, shame on you. He looked at me. He said, come on now. I'll tell you what, I'm overplaying patty cake with people. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on now. Let's be truthful. I said to him, everybody gave like you gave, what kind of a church would this be? We'll meet under the jolly tree. Amen. If somebody will allow us to use his tree. Amen. There's one person, you know, he always stands like this during the worship. So I said to him, why don't you lift holy hands? Why don't you clap? He said, no, I'm worshiping God in my spirit. He says, these other people clap and all that, but I'm a true worshiper. I said, how would the church be if everybody worshiped like you? Imagine we all come to church and we're all true worshipers. Okay. Amen. What's your contribution? What are you doing? Amen. Come on now. Everything we do inspires others. Everything we do brings a blessing, contributes. Amen. And strengthens the house of God. Hallelujah. I think about Jesus. He laid aside his majesty. He laid aside his power. He gave it all up. And he gave himself for you and I. Hallelujah. And when I look at that, I think, thank God for a life of unselfishness. An unselfish life is a life of humility. Did you know that? The Bible says that Ezra 8:21. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava that we might humble ourselves before our God to seek from Him the right way for us and our little ones and our possessions. Humility is beautiful to God. Amen. The Bible says in James 4:6, God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Amen. It's one thing to be pursued by devils. It's another thing to be resisted by God Himself. Amen. Humility is beautiful before God. God loves humility. He's attracted to it. Amen. Humility draws God into your presence. Hallelujah. When you fast, you're actually humbling yourself. You're humbling your five senses. You're putting everything before Him. The Bible says the flesh lusts against the spirit. It's a strong word, isn't it? Lusts. The flesh lusts against the spirit. But you know what? We bring it into captivity to the knowledge and the obedience of God. Amen. Why do I fast? I fast because a fast enters the battle of faith. Faith has to deny the five senses. We walk not by sight, but by faith. Amen. Not by what you hear, but by what God speaks to your heart. Amen. Not what you feel, not what you see. You walk by faith. So your five senses is opposed to the spirit of faith. And when you fast, you're denying the five senses. The food you see, you deny. Amen. The cooking you hear, you deny. Amen. The curry you can smell your neighbors making, or a good brine on Friday night, you deny. Amen. The desires of the flesh, you deny. You set it aside and you set yourself up and say, God, thy will be done. Amen. It denies that. And you know what? That wonderful battle gets won. Amen. Fasting is a friend to faith. Everybody say with me, fasting is a friend to faith. Fasting is humbling myself and my senses and saying, God, you are first. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, some of you are listening to me today, oh, Pastor Johnny, I don't know. Listen, if you came today and you didn't know we're starting fasting today, you can start tomorrow. No problem. Then you'll just end on a Sunday. We're going to end on a Saturday, as we are starting today. We end on a Saturday and we'll break our fast on the 28th with communion. Amen. So I wanted to break the fast with communion. Amen. So it's going to be a great time. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. So I just want to say this to you. A Christian controlled by outward senses is no match for the devil. Can I say it again? A Christian controlled by outward needs is no match for the devil. No match. All he needs to do is bring a need or two, and there you go. Your faith is gone. That's why fasting is so powerful. It denies the need and puts your faith above it. Hallelujah. Now, some of you are going to join us for a full 21 days, water only. Some of you are going to join us for the full 21 days in a Daniel fast. Like Daniel did, he ate no pleasant foods, eating only vegetables, or only fruits. Some of us are going to join us with a partial fast. You're going to fast breakfast every day. Now, if you normally don't have breakfast, then it's not a fast. Amen. But whatever meal, one meal a day. Some of you join us, you'll fast for the day and only eat at night. We're all in different places. But as you do, set your desire. Set what you're going to do and join in. Hallelujah. And we're going to win the victory. Somebody say amen. It's a new day. It's a new season. I believe that we're going to see the power and the glory of God fill the church. Amen. And every saint be satisfied. Every saint be filled with joy. Nobody distressed because we found the will of God. Amen. That is what's so wonderful. When you fast, you put your will aside. Amen. My will to eat. My will. And I don't know about you, but when you fast, suddenly everybody's inviting you for a party and a, hey, suddenly all these things are happening around you. You deny that and you give yourself to God first. So we've got this wonderful 21-day booklet. Take it, read it, go through it. Amen. Meditate on it. I've got a whole lot of scriptures in the bottom on the different topics as we pray. Read through those scriptures. Confess those scriptures over your mind. Confess them over your heart. And now I want to encourage you this morning. It's the beginning of the year. It's normally a time in which we set our goals. Amen. Which we set our vision. Why don't we make the first 21 days of this year a time in which we humble our goals. We humble our vision. Amen. We lay it down before God. In these 21 days, set it aside. Become less busy. Amen. And withdraw. That's why Jesus went into the wilderness. He went into the wilderness to fast. Amen. Why did he go to the wilderness? There's no food. There's no provision. There's no entertainment. Amen. There's no distractions. He went into the wilderness denying the needs of the flesh. And really, I'm likening that to you and I going into the fast. You're going into the wilderness. Amen. Going to a place, we're denying that. And those of you who can hear this word, you can fast media as well. Amen. We hear a little bit less of the enemy's voice. Amen. And commit yourself to hearing from God. Now, Father, we thank you for each and every one of us. As we set ourselves aside this year, Father, we pray, thy will be done. Thy kingdom come. And Father, we know that every work of the enemy shall be broken. Every word, Father, shall be exposed. Every lie shall be shouted from the rooftops. And we, your people, will know the truth. And the truth will set us free. I thank you for your mighty blessing and your hand on each and every one of your servants. Right now, Lord, I thank you as we bring that sacrifice before you, that you're the God that answers by fire. That a holy anointing comes on each and every one. If you're committing yourself to fast now, I want you to just lift your hands. Thank you, Heavenly Father. As hands are lifted, say, here I am, Father. I'm sacrificing myself to you in this next 21 days. I thank you that you're the God that answers by fire. Let your fire fall. Let your glory come. Let your spirit come and consume the offering. As we bring it to you, our Father, we thank you that you'll bring a cleansing, a purifying, a restoration into each and every one of our lives. And Father, that each and every one will discover your perfect will in these 21 days. I bless you. Commend them into your mighty hands. And thank you for your hand on each one in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
We trust that you were blessed by that word. Our prayer is that you are inspired to become more like Jesus. If you'd like more information about Durban Christian Center, you can visit us on our Durban Christian Center Bluff or Wentworth Facebook page, or contact us on Durban code 031-467-0457. We'd love to hear from you, so please send us a praise report or even a prayer request. Thank you, and God bless.